The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
I'd like this evening to dwell on a mitzvah which is mentioned in Bahar, and although it's a mitzvah we've dwelled on several times before, but because it's so important and it's something that we all need to constantly learn about it and review it, and secondly, every time we learn it, there's always new knowledge involved in it. So therefore, I would like to take this subject again. In Parshas Bahar, Posuk Yud Daled, V'chisim krumim kol amisecho, that when you sell something to your friend, ekonomi ad amisecho, or you acquire something from your friend, al teinu ishas ochiv. You shall not, now the word tonu, this means to harm, we will say. So you shall not harm your friend. What does this mean? That you shall not harm him financially. Now it's speaking where you buy land from him, or you sold land to him. And it's in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, the land basically had to be returned to the original owners at the Yovel, on the 50th year. Since you're not selling the piece of land forever, but it's going to be returned, so you must calculate, you must not charge him an outrageous price, but calculate for how many years, or for how many seasons of crops can he have the land for. So it states, al teinu, that you shall not harm him, which means you shall not cheat him financially. Then the Torah tells us again, v'leisainu ish es amisai, you shall not harm one man, his fellow man, v'yoreisam elekecho, but you shall fear your God, ki ani Hashem elekechem, because I am the Lord your God. Now here again, the Torah says, you shall not harm. Why does it say it twice? So Rashi brings, the first time it's referring to Einoz Momen, you shall not harm him financially. The second time it's referring to something altogether different. Not when you're transacting, buying and selling land, but you shall not harm him with words. Einoz Devorim. Leisovnu Ishas Amisai, that one person should not harm his fellow man with words, v'yoreisam elekecho, and you shall fear your God, ani Hashem elekechem, I am the Lord your God. Now the source for this in the Talmud is an entire sugya, a whole subject in Masechta Bava Metzia, Perek Azov, the fourth Perek. The Mishnah tells us on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, just like you're not allowed to harm someone financially, sell him something worth little and charge him a lot, so is it you're not allowed to harm someone with words. You shouldn't come in and ask him, how much is this article? But you have no intentions of buying it. Ima yobal tshuva, if he was a bal tshuva, leyema lezuchor maasecho rishenim, you shouldn't say to him, remember your early days. Im hu ben gerim, if he's the son of a ger, of a convert, leyema lezuchor maase abasecho, you should remember the acts of your fathers. By convert in particular, it states that you shall not harm him, and you shall not silchatzenu harm him financially. This is what the Mishnah tells us. Now the Gemara elaborates. Tone Rabbonim, our rabbis taught, leisonu ish es amisei beinos dvorim akosim medaber. This is referring to harming a person with words. Hoketzad. For example, im bal tshuva, if he's a person who was a bal tshuva, al yemele zochor ma'asecho rishayim. You shouldn't tell him, remember your early days. I remember you when you didn't keep Shabbos. I remember you when you didn't eat kashrus. I remember you when you were not such a tzaddik. This you're not allowed to tell him. And if you do, then you transgress a negative commandment. Av leisainu ish esamisoi. Im haya ben geri. If he was the son of a convert, al yemelei zechor maase avasecho. You shouldn't tell him that, you shouldn't think that you're such a good fellow, because we remember the acts of your father, who was a non-Jew. Im hayo ger, what happens if he's a ger himself? Not only is he a son of a ger, but he himself is a convert. Ubo lil meter, and he's coming to learn in Torah. Hayem elei peshoach al navele sutreifish, kotzim v'ramoshim bo lil meter, shenemra mipi agvura. You shouldn't say to him that here is a convert that's coming into the Beis HaMedrash, to the yeshiva he wants to learn. So you shouldn't say to him that a mouth that once ate Nevelis and Trefus and Shkotz and Ramoshim, a mouth that once ate everything that was also everything that was forbidden to eat, and now you're coming to learn Torah that was given from the mouth of the Almighty. Im hayu yisurin boyin olov, if a person is suffering, im hayu chaloyin boyin olov, if he's having bad mazel, or if he's sick, Oshoye Makaver es Bonov, or Chalila, he had to go bury his son. Then you're not allowed to say to him, like the Chaverim, like the colleagues of Iuv said, Haloy Yerosko Kislosecho, Tikvosko Vetaim Drochecho, Zechorno Mihu Noki Ovod. When Iuv was suffering, the people came to him, his friends came to him, and they said that evidently the fear of God that you had was not such a genuine fear. Because if you really feared Hashem, all of this bad mazel, all of these plagues, and all of these sufferings would not have come to you. This you're not allowed to say. Not allowed to tell a person that if you would have feared Hashem more, then this wouldn't have happened to you. You could teach him for the future. You could instruct him. But at a time when he's down, and a great tragedy just befell him, he had to go and bury a son, or his business went bankrupt. At that time, you cannot come and say that had you've been a better Jew, this wouldn't have happened to you. Had you kept mitzvahs better, this wouldn't have happened to you. This you're not allowed to say to him. But you have to encourage him. Help him get up. Help him stand up. But not push him further down. Now all of these cases cited, these are cases where you are harming someone, you are hurting someone with your tongue. If someone comes into town and he asks, where can I buy some grain? So you decide to play a practical joke on him. See, you'll send him over to a place that they never sold grain. For example, a stranger comes into town and he wants to buy a suit. He's looking for a clothing store. So you and your friend decide you'll play a practical joke on him. Instead of sending him to a clothing store, you'll send him to a plumbing store. And he'll come in there and ask for clothes. Now this is a nice joke, but it's embarrassing. And this is a nos dvorim. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, af lo yitla eno valamekach b'shoshein ledomim. You are not even allowed to come in to a salesman and make off like you're an appropriate buyer, you're a potential buyer, and ask him questions about what he's selling. But really, you are in no position to buy it whatsoever. Because this also, through your words, you are hurting him, you are harming him. Then the Gemara tells us, Sha'arei adover mosul alev, v'chol dover mosul alev, ne'amar bev, v'yoreisim alakecho. Now who knows, though, what you mean? Maybe you'll say, look, I didn't mean it like that. So this is something which is dependent on the hearts of people. And wherever something is dependent on the hearts of people, then it states, v'yoreisim alakecho, that you shall fear your God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that knows. He will know what you mean. And he is the one who will punish. So here we have a negative commandment in the Torah. Unfortunately, many, many Jews, and many, many good Jews, are not aware of it. Okay. They're aware that you're not allowed to eat something that's not kosher. This everyone is aware of. Right. They're aware that there are positive commandments, like you have to put on tefillin, or you have to take the lulav and esrog on Sukkos. But saying a word to someone, which would hurt that person, this is something that many, many Jews are not aware of at all. And if they are aware, they think this is something that has to do with derech eretz. Derech eretz means how to be a gentleman, but not necessarily has to do with the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. Or midas tevas, to perfect a nice character in a person, which is very important, but not necessarily that has to do with the 613 mitzvahs. Many, many Jews are aware of Lashon Hara, which we've given many shurim on. And Lashon Hara is when you speak about your fellow man behind his back. You speak about your fellow man behind his back. You say, you go to Reuven, and you tell Reuven bad things about Shimon. You slander Reuven to other people. That's Lashon Hara. Now this is not Lashon Hara, because you are not slandering him to others. So therefore it's not Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is when you give a person a bad name and you slander him to other people. This is not. So a person might feel like I'm not slandering him to others. So what are you doing? Either you're insulting him, or you're embarrassing him. You're making him the victim of a bad joke. Or you belittle him. Or you criticize him when it's not justified in the eyes of the Torah. Or, as many, many times we find, there are some people who are very capable, they have a very sharp tongue, and they can interject in a discussion with a person how to put him back, how to knock him down. The English were particularly famous for this. They took pride in their capability and their ability to use the English language to put people in their place, where it became a sport. So as we mentioned, Jews are familiar with the many mitzvahs of the Torah, but this is something that people are not quite aware of. And not only is this a mitzvah in the Torah, it's one of the 613 mitzvahs. And not only is it a negative commandment, but we will see from what the Gemara spends almost two full pages in the Gemara is a lot of Gemara. Almost two full pages discussing this. And we will see from this evening that this is a very, very severe Avera, and yet it's something that unfortunately is very common amongst people. The Gemara continues. Omer Reb Yechanan Mishum Reb Shimon Ben Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan said, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was the great Talmud, the great disciple of Rabbi Kiva, who we just celebrated his Yahrzeit on Lag BaOmer. And he was the author of the great works, the Zohar HaKodesh. Godel einoz devorim einoz mamon. To harm someone with your tongue, with the words, is worse than to harm someone financially. Because we see in the psukim that we quoted, when the Torah said that you should not harm him financially, you should give him a good sale, does not say, and you shall fear your God. And here, it's stated that you shall fear God. Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni omar zeh nitin lishoven, zeh lein nitin lishoven. If you harm someone financially, you can return it to him. You cheated him, you can refund his money. But when you insult someone, or you harm someone with words, there's no way of reconciling it. That hurt was always there. The Gemara tells us a little further. Omer Blazer. From the day that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, ninolu sharei tefila. The gates of prayer were closed. The Beis Hamikdash was our focal point, our central point for tefila, the korbanos, the sacrifice in the tefila. And when that was destroyed, the gates of prayer became closed. Shneamar gam ki ezok vashaveya shesum tefilosi. The pasuk in Eicha, we say it on Tisha B'Av, that our prayers fell silent. But even though the gates of prayer have become silent, the gates of tears have not been closed. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be deaf to my tears, Dovr HaMelech said. And then the Gemara tells us, therefore, if a person insults someone, or he hurts someone, and he brings him to tears, this HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to immediately. Then the Gemara goes further. Omar Rav Chisda, kol ha-sho'orim ninolim, chutz mishari eino. Rav Chisda said all of the gates are closed except the gates of Aino, except the gates when someone cries to Hashem because he was hurt, by emotionally hurt by another person. Shneamar hinei Hashem nitzav al chaimus anoch ubiyodei anoch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands on the wall, and in his hand he personally takes care of the cries from someone who was emotionally hurt. Omer Blazer, HaKol Nifra Biyat Shliach Chutz Meino, Shneam Rav Yoda Enoch. And Blazer said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives retribution always through a shliach, through an emissary. But when it comes to Eino, that someone was hurt emotionally by another person, this HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of himself. In all of these halachas that we are mentioning, they are all brought in the Rambam, and they're brought in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam brings in Hilchis Mechiro, Perek Yud Dalet, Perek Yud Dalet, Halacha Yud Beis, Kishem Sheino B'Mekach Memker, Kach Yesheino B'Dvorim. Just like you're not allowed to harm someone through sale, through buying and selling, so you're not allowed to harm someone with words. Shneam v'leisaynu isha samisoy, that one man should not harm his fellow man. V'yoreisem alakechon, you shall fear Hashem ani Hashem. Zu ze haynos dvorim. This refers to harming someone with words, and then the Rambam goes through all of these examples that the Gemara gives, and this is also brought in Cheshen Mishpat in Shulchan Aruch. in Simen Reish Chav Ches. When it comes to this mitzvah, we can break it into, divide it into five categories. There is a no referring to your fellow man. In other words, the general harming of another person through words. A second category, there is a no of umlolim, to harm people who are downtrodden. For example, a ger, a convert, a yosom, an orphan, an almona, a widow, or someone like the Gemara mentions that tragedy has befallen upon him. So this is a person who is downtrodden. That's another category. There's a third category of a noz ishte, of emotionally harming with words one's wife. There's a fourth category that the Gemara deals with, and that's halbonus penei chavere, harming someone to the point where you embarrass him publicly. And then there's a fifth category of a noz rishoy. What is the law regarding to speaking sharply to a rosho, to a wicked person? Regarding the first category of harming your fellow man, so this we've already mentioned. And this is the general category, and we'll be speaking a little more about this in just a few minutes. In regards to the aino of umlolim, that you should not harm the downtrodden, on this, in many instances, not only do you transgress one negative commandment, but in many instances you transgress several. The Gemara brings on Daf Nun Tes, Amud Beis, Ton Rabbonin, Ama'ane es ager, someone who harms a ger, verbally, Ever Bishlesh Lavin, he transgresses three negative commandments. Why? Because it says, first of all, the ger leseine, that you shall not verbally harm the ger. Secondly, it states, v'chi yogur itcho ger be'atzechem leseinu eisoi, that when a convert will come to live with you in your land, you shall not verbally harm him. So a second time it says it. And thirdly, v'leseinu isha samisoi, that one Jew shall not harm verbally a fellow Jew, v'ger bechlal amisoi. And once a person is converted, so he is included in a fellow Jew. So therefore, when a person will verbally harm a ger, then he'll transgress three negative commandments. The Rambam brings this in Hilchis Mechira. Where he brings, like the Gemara says, that you would transgress three negative commandments. Then, in Hilchis Deis, the Rambam brings in Perek Vov, Halacha Dalet, Avas Agir, Shebo v'Nitmas Tachas Kanfi Yashchina, Shtei Mitzvos Esrei. Besides the fact that you're not allowed to verbally harm Agir, but there's two positive commandments in loving a ger. That this that we are commanded to love the ger who has come, tachas kanfi ashkina, there are two mitzvahs essays. Achas mibnei shu bechlau reim. One is because he's part of Israel. And it states in the Torah, "V'yavta l'reacha k'baicha," that you're obligated to love every other person, every fellow man in Israel. "V'achas b'bnei shugir," and one is because he is a convert. "V'ateiro omro v'avta mesagir," and the Torah explicitly said that you shall love the gir. "Tziva al'avas agir k'meishet tziva al'avas atzmai." The Almighty has commanded us to love the gir, just like He has commanded us to love Himself. "Shne'mar v'avta eis Hashem elekecha," as it states that you shall love the Lord your God. "HaKodesh Baruch Hu Atzmai Ohev Gerim," Shne'mar v'Ohev Ger, and the Almighty Himself loves the Ger. So from here we learn how careful one must be with a convert, a Ger. Many times there are many people feel that someone who has come to convert becomes a second-class citizen. It's just to the contrary. The Torah has cautioned us more on how to deal with a ger than on how to deal with another Jew. Because if you verbally harm another Jew, so you transgress one negative commandment. If you verbally harm a ger, you transgress three negative commandments. The Gemara also speaks on what happens if you financially harm a ger. There also you transgress more commandments. But we're limiting our discussion here to the verbal part. And we are obligated to love another Jew. That's one mitzvah. With two mitzvahs are we obligated to love the ger. And the Gemara tells us at the end of this sugya, at the end of this discussion, and of Nun Tes Amad Beis, "Hiziru Tera Belamed Vav Mekemes, V'Amri Lo B'Mem Vav Mekemes Begir," that the Torah has made mention to us in 36 places in the Torah, and some say in 46 places in the Torah, how carefully we should deal with the Gir. So that's one example of how to be careful with the downtrodden. And that's in regards to a ger. In the Rambam in Perek Vov Halacha Yud writes, "Chayev Odom Lizoye Biyseimim VeAlmones." A person has to be careful with orphans and widows, more so than with other people, "Mipnei Shenafshon Shfeila LeMa'ed," because by nature they are very humble, "VeRucham Nemucha," and their spirit is very low, "Avo Pishein Bali Momen," even if they are wealthy. If you have a widow who's very wealthy, no difference. If you have an orphan that was left over a fortune, no difference. The Torah has commanded us that even though we have to deal with every member of Israel very, very carefully, but even more so with orphans and widows. "Afilu almanosei shel melech v'yeseimov," even the widow of a king, and even the orphans of a king, "muzorim onu alehem," we are cautioned to deal with them very carefully. "Shenema kol almona v'yosem leisanum," that you shall not harm any almona or yosem. So therefore, if you would verbally insult a widow or an orphan or hurt them with your speech, so not only will you transgress the regular negative commandment, but a special negative commandment of kol almona v'yosem leisanu. "V'hei mohem le'yidaber aleihem el arakeis," you should speak only softly with them. "V'yineg behen el amina koved," you must give them much honor. "V'yachiv gufem ba'aveda v'libam v'dvorim koshim," you should not oppress them. "V'yochais," and you should be careful. "Al memenin yesim memenim atzman," you must take care of their money more than your own money. More than you take care of your own possessions, you must be careful with their possessions. "Kol hamakniton a machison a hichiv lohen," whoever will make them angry or hurt them, Erodu behem, or will down make them downtrodden, or avad menainon, or cause them to lose their money. So then they transgress this other negative commandment, and certainly if they will physically harm them. And even though there is no corporal punishment from the Beis Din on this, but the punishment is explicit in the Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that those that afflict the orphans and the widows, I shall become angry and kill them with a sword. There's a covenant with the Almighty that as long as they, whenever they cry out to the Almighty because of oppression that other people have caused them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers immediately. Now this, then the Rambam explains, this all refers to, though, is where it's not justified what you do. But what happens if the Rav is Ma'ane, the Talmud, in order to teach him Torah, in order to teach him a profession, or in order that he should walk in an upright path? You have an orphan, and you have to discipline him. You have to punish him. Then you're allowed to, because this you're doing for his own good. But even so, la'inod ben minikol odom, but you must not do it in the same way that you do to other children. Eleyasale and hefresh, but you must do it with a distinction. And you must deal with them with great caution, great compassion, great honor. Shenemar ki Hashem yori vrivom. Because it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will fight their quarrels for them. Echod yosem me'av, echod yosem me'em. It is not, an orphan does not mean where he loses both of his parents, cholila, but even if he loses just one, if he's an orphan from his father or orphan from his mother. And until when is he considered an orphan? Until a person no longer needs parents. Actually, yitzrichin la'odem godli somach alov, until he's capable of becoming independent, financially independent, and everything he can do for himself like other adults, then no longer is he considered an orphan. So we have here then, therefore, that if a person will verbally harm the umlolim, those who are downtrodden, so besides the negative commandments, which particular refers to this mitzvah, there'll be other transgressions also. And therefore a person must be very careful with the orphans and with the widows and with a ger who has his own parsha, with someone who yesurin is coming upon, or also balei tshuva many times are in that category. We also find a similar mitzvah that on Yantif, it's brought that it's a mitzvah to be mesameach, the almona and the yosom and the ger. So there, the Rambam brings all the umlolim. There is a special mitzvah. There's always a mitzvah to be mesameach every Jew. But there's a special mitzvah, and especially on Yantif, to be mesameach, to share your simchas Yantif with the umlolim, with the downtrodden. A third category that we mentioned is Einos Ishtoi, to verbally harm one's wife. The Gemara tells us here in the Sugya and the Afnun Tes, Omarav, Rav said, La'olam yehi odom zohir b'einos ishtoi. A person must be extra careful with harming one's wife, verbally, emotionally. Shemitech shedimosa metzuya, einosa kreva. Because since dimosa, shemitech shedimosa metzuya, since her tears can come very easily, this is a sign that she is hurt much easier. Then the Gemara tells us further that there's a second reason in this now. Besides, firstly, the fact that tears will come easily, so this is a sign that she is hurt much easier. And secondly, from the fact that tears come, and the Gemara tells us all of the gates of heaven are closed except to the gates of tears, so this means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will revenge this. Then the Gemara tells us Omer Abchalbe La'elam ye'odem zohir b'kfeid ishtay she'en brocha metzuya b'teik besi shel odem ela b'shvil ishtay. Not only should a person be careful not to harm or insult his wife, but he should always be very careful to honor his wife. Why? Because the brocha, physical brocha that comes into a house, that comes, the Gemara says, because of a person's wife. So if a person honors his wife, he will have physical brocha in his house. Shneamar, how do we know? States ul Avraham heitiv ba'avura. Avraham became rich because of Sarah. Because when Sarah was taken by Paroi, or by Avishalom, so after they found out that she belonged to Avraham, after they found out that she belonged to Avraham, he returned Sarah to Avraham, and he gave all types of wealthy, precious gifts to Avraham. So it states, "Avraham heitiv ba'avura." Avraham was given this because of her. So we see that Avraham became wealthy. Behind it, Omer Rava livnei Mechuza, and Rava, because of this, Rava taught. Rava lived in a city called Mechuza, which was in Bavel. So he used to lecture, he used to give droshes to the people there. So he used to teach them. A kirul in a shaycha, ki hechi desis asro. Honor your wives, and you will become wealthy. This is what he used to teach the people of Mechuza. You want to become wealthy, honor your wives. We have a slightly similar Gemara, that the Gemara tells us in the Sechti Yevomis, and of Samach Beis Omet Beis. Ton Rabbonin, Heiv Ish Es Ishte Kigufe, that a person who loves his wife as himself, B'machab D'yesem Kigufe, and he honors her more than himself. Then it mentions other things also. But if he does these things, Olova Kosev Eimer, Yodato ki shalom alecho, then there will always be peace and brocha in his house. So the Gemara tells us that we must love a wife like ourselves and honor her even more than ourselves. And then there will be peace and brocha always in a person's house. The Rambam brings this in Hilchos Ishus. In Hilchos Ishus, Perek Tesvov, Halacha Yutes, the Rambam brings, V'chein Tzivu Chachomim, the Chachomim commanded, She'odem Mechaber Es Ishto Yesem Migufe, that a person should honor his wife more than he honors himself. V'ayav Oke Gufe, and he should love her like he loves himself. V'im Yesh Le'mamen, and if he has money, then he should spend his money on his wife in accordance to what he has. This means that if he has a little money, then he spends a little on her. If he has a lot of money, he shouldn't say, well, I've been spending a little on her all the time, I'll keep it up. If he comes into more money, then he has to spend more money on her. And he should not be the type of person in a house who's a tyrant, where he casts too much of a fear on his household or to his wife. But always he should speak softly to her. Softly and nicely. And he shouldn't go around depressed in front of his wife or sad. And not always angry. V'chein siva ala isha, and also did our, just like a husband is not allowed to insult his wife, a wife also is not allowed to insult a husband. So v'chein siva le'isha, so did our sages command in regards to a wife, shetir mechabedes es baila b'yeser midai, that she should honor her husband with a tremendous amount of honor. And she should have a great respect, a fear and a respect from her husband. To the point where everything she does should be in accordance to what he would want. He should be in her eyes like a prince, a king. She's Yisna. Whatever she does, she tries to fulfill his desires and tries to further away from him and everything that he hates. This is the way of the daughters of Israel and the sons of Israel. HaKadoshim v'atahorim b'zivugim, who are sanctified and who are pure in their marital lives. Ubidrochim elu, and if each one will conduct himself in this manner, the husband towards the wife, and the wife towards the husband, yeh yeshuven noya umeshubach, then their homes and their lives will be beautiful and praiseworthy. Incidentally, the Hagos Maimonides is one of the commentaries on the Rambam. He brings here from a Medrash that the Medrash says, "Mativo shel Yoal, shebosat shua gdei lal yodo." Yoal was during the time of Devorah, and at that time, all of Israel fell under great danger from a tyrant by the name of Sisera and his armies, and Yoal is the one who killed Sisera. She went and cut off his head. And through this, all of Israel was saved. So, where did she come to such a great act? So, the Medrash says, Shebosa chua gdei la yodo omro ishek shera hoiso, veseretzein bailo. Because she was an ishek shera, she was a woman who always tried to fulfill the will of her husband. Mikan omru ein lecha ksheira benoshim ele isha she'eser etzein bailo. So there the Gemara tells, the Medrash says, from here we learn that the greatest achievement that a woman can do, a wife can do, is to try to fulfill the will of her husband. But then on the other hand, what the Rambam says, the husband has to honor her more than himself and love her as much as himself. So when it comes to Eino, in regards to a wife, this is something that a person has to be particularly careful of. In Cheshed Mishpat, Simon Reishchov Ches, Siv Gimel, this halacha is brought, Tzorech Lizore Beinois Ishto, that a person must be very careful in regards to insulting his wife, Lefisha Dimosim Metsuyo, because her tears come easily. And the Sma, this is one of the Peskim, the main Peskim in Cheshen Mishpat, writes, Lefi sho isha racho beteva, since a woman is very soft by nature, Val tsar mi'ati beicho, and even through a little anguish, it brings her to tears, V'Hashem Yisborach makbir al adimos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very stringent and demanding when it comes to tears. And And that the Gemara brings that even though the gates of prayer are closed, the great gates of tears are not closed. Therefore, a person must be very cautious and very careful when it comes to his wife. A fourth category is if a person insults a fellow man to the point where it's halbonus b'nei chaverei, where he embarrasses him publicly, and to the point where the person turns white from embarrassment, white from shame. The Gemara tells us, Toni Tano Kamed Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok learned, Kol Hamalbim Pnei Chaveiro Berabim, Kil Shefik Domim. That whoever embarrasses another person publicly to the point where he pales is as if he has spilled blood. So they said to him, he said to him, that what you said is very logical, because we see that the blood, the color of his face goes away. So we see that the blood is leaving his face and he's becoming pale. And Taisus brings that even though when a person is embarrassed, so first he becomes reddened, he says that's because the blood is gathering to move away. So first he becomes very reddened, but then he becomes pale. And if the embarrassment reaches that point, then that's kilo shefek domin. It's as if he is spilling blood. Abaya asked Rav Dimi. Abaya was in Bovel. Rav Dimi was in Eretz Yisrael. And Abaya asked Rav Dimi in Eretz Yisrael, what are you people cautious with? In order to be zecher to a fine eilev abo, what are you people cautious with? Omalei bechavre api. We're very cautious about embarrassing, doing anything in public, doing anything to another person in public that might cause him embarrassment. Doma Rav Chanina, because Rav Chanina said, Hakol yodin legehenem chutz mishleisha. Kol ayodin legehenem eilim chutz mishleisha. That people who commit great averus, great sins, and they do not do tshuva for it, and they die, they go to Gehenna. But eventually, after they've served their time there, so they come out of Gehenna. But there are three who do not come up from Gehenna. There's a whole discussion here in the Meforshim, in the commentaries, what happens to them. But that's not what we're going into. But we see that they stay in Gehenna a much longer time than anyone else. If they didn't do tshuva while they lived. And those three are Abo Alei Shesish, someone who commits adultery with another man's wife, Hamalbin Pnei Chaveiro Berabim, someone who embarrasses another person publicly to the point where his face pales, Ba'amakane Shemro Alei Chaveiro, or someone who calls another person by a name which even though he is called by this name, but it's not honorable to him. He is given a name, he was given a name, and it's a name, it's not a name from love, but it's a name because people gave it to him as a shame genai. It was a, there was somewhat of a disgrace in it. But now it's stuck to him. So if you continue to call this person by that name, then you're also in this category. Then the Gemara brings Omar Rabba Babachan Omar Bechanan. Neach leilo odem shiove asofik eishisish val yalbim pnei chaveiro berabim. It is better for a person to commit adultery with a woman who might be a married woman rather than to embarrass someone publicly. How do we know this? We know this from David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech had an episode with Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the wife of Uriah. And David HaMelech there was this episode between David HaMelech and Bathsheba. Later on, David Uriah died and David married Bathsheba. But there was this episode. And the Gemara calls her a Sophic Eshesish. To David, she was an Eshesish, a married woman of suspicion. There was a possibility she might have been a married woman. Now, exactly what she was, this is a great discussion in all of the commentaries. Some say, there's a Gemara, that David used to demand from all of his soldiers before they would go to war that they must give a divorce, a bill of divorce, to their wives. And in case they didn't return, so then the divorce would take effect retroactively. So Uriah had gone to war, and meanwhile David took Bathsheba. So there was a possibility that she was still a married woman. As it came out, she wasn't, because Uriah never returned. But at that time, there was a possibility she might have been a married woman. Others say that the soldiers would divorce their wives outright before they went to war. But this was done in strict confidence, in order that other people then would not try to marry them while the soldiers were away. So this is why she was considered a sophicacious ish, that she was a suspect of being a married woman. Because even though David knew that she should have been divorced, there was a possibility, though, that maybe she wasn't. The Rambam writes in a place that she certainly was not a married woman. But because of the circumstances, and because of David's great stature, the Almighty chastised him as if he would have taken a married woman. Because Akol Nida in Kefi Chochmosay, the Rambam writes, everyone is judged in accordance to his greatness and his wisdom. But at any rate, David writes here, he wrote in the Tehillim, that the people were scoffing at him. And they were saying, David went and he committed adultery with a Sophic Eshesish. So he said that this was such an embarrassment to him, that if they would tear his skin, they would not find blood in him. This is how much he was embarrassed. He said, even when they were learning other subjects, his enemies would come to him and they would ask him, what is the punishment for someone who commits adultery? And I would answer them, that the punishment is strangulation. But the adulterer has a portion in the world to come. But someone who publicly embarrasses someone else, he has no portion in the world to come. And then the Gemara brings that it would be better for a person to throw himself in a furnace of fire than to embarrass someone else publicly. How do we know this? This we know from Tom and Yehuda. Because Yehuda had a relationship with Tomer, and Tomer became pregnant, and Yehuda did not know it was Tomer. And they were taking Tomer out to punish her and to burn her at the stake. And still she refused to say who the children were from. As all she did was give certain signs, and she said that whoever is the owner of these things, he is the father of the children. But otherwise she would not admit. So we see that Tomer held it was better that she should be burnt than she should publicly scandal someone. So the Gemara says, from here we learn, that it's better that a person should throw himself in a furnace of fire than publicly scandalize someone else. This is quite different in our society today. When today we live in a society of scandal, say, and that's what the newspapers are all about. They thrive and live on scandal. But this is not in accordance to the Torah. And Tosfos brings, this is not merely this is not merely philosophy, but this is legal. Tosfos brings in Masechta Sotah Tosfos asks that the Gemara says that when one is confronted with the transgression of a mitzvah or the losing of his life, he must transgress the mitzvah with three exceptions: Averis Kechovim, idolatry, Gila Arayis, adultery and incest, Shvichas Domim, the spilling of blood. In those three cases, he must lose his life. So Tosfos asks, according to the Gemara we just quoted, there's a fourth example, that if he's confronted with the possibility where he is forced to publicly embarrass someone, there also he should give his life. So Tosfos says, yes, he must give his life. Why doesn't the Gemara mention it then? Why does the Gemara say only three Averis and not four? He says, because the Gemara is only speaking about those that are written explicitly in the Torah. Only about those who are written, that are written explicitly in the Torah. But those that are not written explicitly in the Torah, the Gemara didn't mention. So you see, Tosfos legally holds that if a person is forced to publicly scandalize someone or be put to death, he must choose death. The Rambam brings this in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel Halacha Yudalad. The Rambam brings there are certain averus that the Chachomim said, Shaharogel behem, people who become involved in these averus, ein lehen chelek leilam abo, they lose their portion in the world to come. Therefore, kedai hin nisrachik mehem. Therefore, a person must be very, very cautious of these, far to make them far from him. Ulizore behem beelohein hamakan shem lechaveroi. If you call a person by a name that's a disgrace to him, or even if you call him by a name that he's usually called by, but the name itself is disgraceful. Or if a person publicly embarrasses a person. Then the Rambam lists a few more. But if a person does this and he dies without tshuva, then he loses his portion in the world to come. If he does tshuva, then ain lecha dover aymid mishmnei tshuva. Then there's nothing that stands in the way of tshuva. But if not, he loses his portion in the world to come. So we see the tremendous gravity of this avera. There's one more category, and that's the category that what happens if a person is a rosha, an evil person. If a person is an evil person, the Gemara says, it states, leiseinu teinu alt leiteinu amisecho. Amisecho means your nation, your fellow citizen. And amisecho, the Gemara darshins, am shiitcho b'mitzvahs. But it means a fellow Jew who acts as a Jew. Someone who fears the Almighty, a Yirah Shamayim. If he has no fear for the Almighty, he rejects HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're not obligated to give him honor. He cannot expect protection from the Almighty's Torah when he rejects the Almighty and his Torah. And in Cheshen Mishpat it's brought, if he's not a Yira Shamayim, if he has no fear of heaven, then we are not commanded in this, in regards to this person. It's also brought the Rambam brings in Hilchos Deos that if a person is a very evil person, so then it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to let this be known publicly if a person is a very evil person. And then you have a right. You have a right to criticize him. You have a right to embarrass him. But this is speaking by a person who's a very evil person. If it's a person who has fear of a God, except he's doing something wrong, then there's a mitzvah of teichacho, where you are supposed to instruct him, you're supposed to guide him. But even then it states, you shall instruct him, you shall rebuke him, but you shall not sin while you do this. It means that you should not embarrass him publicly. You must do it in a very careful manner. What happens if a person harms you with his tongue? Let's say you have to confront a person who is constantly insulting you, constantly embarrassing you. How should you deal with it? Should you protect yourself? So the Chinuch brings in Mitzvah Shin Lamed Ches, that the Chinuch brings, Ulam lefi adema, ein b'mashma shim bo Yisrael echad v'hischil v'yishir le'atzayr chaveira b'dvorov haroim shelo yaneo ha'shomea. This mitzvah doesn't mean that if a person comes to you and he starts to be metzare, he starts to harm you with his words, that you should be silent and that you should be like a stone and that you should react to him the same way as you would react to someone who's coming to give you brochas. The Torah told us that we should try to stay out of machlekes and try to stay away from this. But if we have no alternative and a person constantly comes and he bothers you, then you have a right to protect yourself. You should try to do it in a nice way, but if you can't, then you have a right to protect yourself with your tongue. And he says, the proof of this is because the Torah tells us that if a man comes to break into your house at night, and in such a case, the Gemara says there can be a danger of life. Because when you try to stop him, he might be carrying a gun and he might shoot. So in such a case, the Gemara says, you're allowed to kill him. If a man is breaking into your house at night, you're allowed to shoot him. Because he's a potential murderer. Because you're not obligated to sit silent while he comes and breaks into your house. You have a right to stop him. And if you stop him, there's a good chance he might kill you. So he's a potential murderer. And by a potential murder, the law is haskim v'horgei. You don't wait till he comes to kill you. You kill him first. So if a man is coming to physically harm you, you have a right to protect yourself by even physically harming him. So the same thing, if there's a person who's constantly coming to insult you or harm you, you have a right, therefore, to protect yourself. The Chinuch, incidentally, in general, writes that this mitzvah is a very, very important mitzvah. And this mitzvah does not only refer to how you deal with people outside of your house, but also refers to how you deal with people inside your house. And does not only refer to gedalim, but also refers to ketanim, to children also. That you're not allowed to harm a child either with your tongue. And the Minchas Chinuch writes that he holds that there is the same negative commandment that if you will hurt a child with your tongue, where it's not justified, then also there's this negative commandment. So you must be very careful how you deal with children. And even though we mentioned that you do have a right to protect yourself, he brings though that the Gemara tells us, and the very, very righteous people, but that's another level, the very righteous people, they were the Olvim Ve'enan Elovim. The Elovim Ve'enan Olvim. They were the ones who wouldn't answer at all. Even when people insulted them, they didn't answer. But this is Midas Hasidus. See, this is a very righteous level. Incidentally, the Vilna Gaon, when he left home, he was going to Eretz Yisrael. As it came out, he never went. But when he started to journey to Eretz Yisrael, he left a letter for his household. And there he emphasized and re-emphasized many, many times that of the most important mitzvahs that they should keep are the mitzvahs concerning the mouth. How they speak to one another, Lashon Hara, and the words they say to each other, and the Ono. And he mentions there that it's very, very important to teach the children. That children are very accustomed to fight and to yell and to insult each other. You must teach children, bring up children also, just like you're obligated to be mechanech, to educate them in other mitzvahs, you certainly must educate them in this mitzvah also. The hour is late, we have to stop now. Although there's still much to discuss on this mitzvah. Let me just finalize with one word from the Maral Miprag, where he writes, why do we find that the Torah was so stringent with this mitzvah? And as we mentioned, this is a mitzvah that unfortunately many Jews are not aware of. That they think that with their mouth they can say to another person whatever they want. Why was the Torah so stringent? Because when you harm a person physically, then you harm his body. When you harm a person with your mouth, you're not harming his body. You're not doing anything to his body. When you harm him financially, you harm his money, his possessions. But again, with your mouth, you're not doing anything to his possessions or to his body. So what are you harming then? You're harming him emotionally. And emotionally goes deeper, that goes into the nefesh. You're harming his nefesh. It goes into the very life and soul of the person. And this is why it states V'yoreisa melakecha. Because the Medrash tells us ki nefesh kol chai b'yotcho, that the soul of every Jew is in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you harm his body, you're not touching what's in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when you harm his nefesh, you are touching what's in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore it states, V'yoreisa melakecha, you shall fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because there you're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it states that all of the gates are closed except the gates of Eino. And that's why it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives retribution always through an emissary. But when it comes to Eino, he himself deals with it. Because here you're harming the very innermost parts of the person. And that's in the hand of the Almighty. And why, by embarrassing someone, is that such a tremendous avera? Because it states in the Torah that Shefech Dama Odom Doma Yishofech, whoever kills a person, his blood also should be shed. Ki Betzelem Elokim also as a Odom, because a person is made in the image of the Almighty. The image of the Almighty, which is implanted on the person, the Maral goes in great length, which we don't have time now, but is shown through the radiance of his face. And the Gemara tells us, Chochmas Odom Teyer Ponav, the wisdom of a person can be seen in the radiance of his face. And we know when a person dies, that radiance leaves him. And that radiance, that's an image of the Almighty, which comes from the other world. And when a person publicly embarrasses a person, another person, then that radiance leaves him. And that's the image of the Almighty. And therefore, the Gemara is now telling us it's just as if he was Shefech Dam, as if he's destroyed him. But for that moment, he has destroyed the image of the Almighty. And that comes from the next world. And he has reacted against the next world, and that's why the Gemara says that he has no portion in the next world. So these are just a few deeper thoughts, very deep thoughts, into this whole parsha. So we must remember and be very careful. This is a mitzvah that we need constant learning of. Very, very important mitzvah. And the Chinuch tells us that we were commanded in this mitzvah in order that there should be shalom and unity between Jews. We should be zeicher to see that shalom.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.